If you prefer manual, time-consuming processes, then this message isn't for you. But if you want to slash per loan cost and boost productivity, then exploring Indicom's Genius Suite is your next step. Integrate Genius into your operations or pair Genius with Indicom's expert mortgage services for proven ROI. Learn how to get Genius at work by visiting Indicom.com.
Today, there's many companies that are interested in the JV space because of the additional revenue that can bring into their organization. And that's extremely important. And we can't forget about the revenue or the income stream that comes in. But going back to the partner engagement, it is, you know, truly, why are they there? If they're just there for the dollar, that falls apart over time. But they truly have a vested interest in the hiring, the leadership of the joint venture, they truly have a vested interest in building the culture of the joint venture, spreading the word within their agent community why a referral to the joint venture, to the mortgage partner, is important and how it'll better their business and their customers or clients' overall experience. If they're really invested at that level, that's when you have a good partner, and that's where our most successful joint ventures are.
Hi, Housing News listeners. This is Elsina Lloyd, and I'm the producer of this weekly podcast, which is a proud member of the Industry Syndicate. You just heard a word from one of today's guests, Mike Iorio, Senior Division Manager in Joint Venture at NewRez. In this live episode, Housing Wire Editor-in-Chief Sarah Wheeler interviews Mike and Randy Vandenhouten, the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Shelter Mortgage, about the increase of joint ventures in the housing space and what makes a good partner from their perspective. Well, thank you for listening, and here's episode 8 of season 6 of the Housing News Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. This is Sarah Wheeler, Editor-in-Chief at Housing Wire, with the latest episode of our Housing News Podcast. I'm excited to introduce our two guests today, who will be talking about joint ventures between mortgage lenders and realty companies. First, we have Randy Vandenhouten, the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Shelter Mortgage. Shelter is the NewRez business division focused on joint venture lending. We also have Mike Iorio, the Senior Division Manager for Joint Venture at NewRez. Mike's broad experience in the industry includes senior positions at CMG Financial, Citywide Lending, and Stearns Lending. Welcome to Housing News, Randy and Mike.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So the first question we always want to ask people is, how did you get in the business, right? When you were 8, were you like, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to do joint ventures someday. What's your story?
Well, certainly that was not my career goal when I was 8. But I really came into the joint venture business, or the mortgage business for that matter, back door. So I was really a accountant. My background, and I worked for a large bank, regional bank, and I became a controller for a smaller institution that did joint ventures. So I eventually grew through that. Ultimately became at that time Shelter Mortgage, but ultimately rose through the ranks, and Shelter was sold through private equity, and I went with Shelter, and lo and behold, I'm in the sales area now, looking for new relationships, managing current relationships. And so I just kind of evolved over the last 23 years or so.
That does seem like, you know, the relationship part of that is what stands out to me. You know, you think that's the key to this whole thing and what you're doing now.
It absolutely is. Joint ventures is all about relationships. And that's the part, frankly, that I enjoy, is getting to know our partners, our real estate partners, and really having a relationship with them and getting to know them on a business, personal and professional level. That's really what it's about. So we, when I take everything away, that's so much different than what I grew up in through the accounting or finance world. And it's the part that I enjoy the most.
Interesting. Mike, what about you?
Not nearly as exciting as Randy. I was in the commercial banking space in Chicago. We moved to California after my oldest one was born. That's where my wife is from. And I needed a job. And my sister-in-law was working for World Savings. Got me a job, you know, an interview at World Savings, and that's how I ended up in the mortgage space, and then navigated through World Savings and Wachovia and Wells through that time, you may remember, back, you know, 2004 through 2009, and ultimately ended up in the joint venture space when an opportunity came up with Wells Fargo. was they were the largest player in the joint venture space at the time. They had a JV that needed a president. They had a change in leadership, and I was I happened to know a few people inside the organization who thought that it would be a good fit. And then that's ultimately how I got into the joint venture space, was by running one of the larger JVs that they had in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, you know, that's the topic of our conversation. We're really excited to kind of dive into why now we're seeing so many joint ventures, why they make sense right now. So maybe you can give us, because of that background, give us a sense of like what's changed and why joint ventures are, how joint ventures are different right now than when you started.
I think joint ventures are different today. There's much more scrutiny about how they're structured, you know, organizationally, compliantly, wanting to ensure that, you know, we are separate, we're establishing separate independent mortgage companies, separately licensed, that are responsible for both, you know, for the origination of the loans, the quality of the loans, having everything set up that it truly is an independent mortgage bank. I think years ago, there was a little bit more latitude with the structure of these joint ventures, and therefore there were more people involved. There were more players in the industry that were part of the JV space. And what you're seeing today is there's fewer and fewer, and those that are in it, like NewRez, that are doing things the right way, that are spending an incredible amount of time and resources structuring the joint ventures so that they're compliant. And ultimately, by doing all that, you know, we're ensuring that they're going to be successful for the long term. I don't know, Randy, anything?
I would totally agree. You totally agree with that. I mean, I think I think it's so important is when you look for a partner or look to go into a joint venture space that you set up the structure is complete, is compliant. And really, once you've got that phase in place and you go through the hurdles of getting this joint venture, this mortgage origination company approved and running, from that point, then it's really about the relationship that we spoke about earlier, about, you know, fitting the culture of the office and working with the partner, working together as a board to say who's going to be our leaders and how we staff it, that we're going to match the culture and we're going to meet expectations. That's the part that really gets fun, right? When you start turning the corner from startup to really getting a successful mortgage company operating.
Well, let's talk about those partners and how you choose them. And from your perspective, what makes a good partner, right? I mean, you're on your side trying to be a good partner. What are you looking for in someone who you know is going to be a good fit for this?
I'd say first and foremost, it's partner engagement. You know, why is that partner interested in a joint venture? Today, there's many companies that are interested in the JV space because of the additional revenue that can bring into their organization. And that's extremely important. And we can't forget about the revenue or the income that comes in. And that allows a lot of our partners to pay for a lot of other things that are more core to you know, selling homes, right, or listing homes. But going back to the partner engagement, it is, you know, truly, why are they there? If they're just there for the dollar, that falls apart over time. But they truly have a vested interest in the hiring, the leadership of the joint venture. They truly have a vested interest in building the culture of the joint venture, spreading the word within their agent community why a referral to the joint venture, to the mortgage partner, is important and how it'll better their business and their customers or clients' overall experience. If they're really invested at that level, that's when you have a good partner, and that's where our most successful joint ventures are. I mean, we have some partners that have been with us for 25 years plus, and those that are the most successful and the longest tenured are those that are at that level of engagement.
You know, you stole the word, you know, engagement is key, right? And it's really about the relationships and building those relationships, not only from our level down to the real estate partner, but to, you know, then to the agents and to the loan officers, and really that trust and depending that when you come to us with a hard deal, we're going to be able to meet those timelines and get that transaction closed, and, you know, really help the end borrower, the consumer buying that home, and really that we're relying on each other, and it's that relationship and that trust that we build over time. And exactly, we have joint venture relationships that are 25 years plus. Which, again, strong relationships, and we understand the importance of meeting a closing. We absolutely do.
Great point on that. So, you know, you mentioned the money, you know, profitability mm-hmm. is part of why these things make sense and why they make sense right now. So, you know, speak to that a little bit about how your partners see this, how this helps them be more profitable.
I'll let you speak to the accounting part of it, Randy.
The accounting part.
The funnest part.
Well, obviously, there's an investment, and that's, you know, there's an investment, and we both sides invest money and get an entity approved, and there's a timeline lag from when that investment is made till the entity is approved and licensed and we're ready to originate. But once, you know, we staff up and we create that hurdle and cross that border, we start paying quarterly distributions based on ownership, which basically varies by market, you know, product mix and loan officer compensation and so forth. But I can say that we drive meaningful quarterly distributions to our realtor partners. And, you know, we have regular board meetings. I think the thing that sets us apart is that, or we try to set us apart, is that we are talking to our partners on a regular basis. We have regular meetings, and it's very transparent. Are very transparent as the income and costs. We talk about where we're setting our margins, what our profit expectations are, and they can, and our partners can realize, you know, in advance, you know, what they can expect for as far as their profit distributions. And again, it's all based on ownership, and it's very structured, and you know, the board ultimately, we work together to set all those parameters.
And we've also seen with our most successful partners that a successful joint venture, not only is the joint venture itself profitable, but it makes the real estate company a better company, because those agents that are working with our loan officers, they have greater control over the transaction. There's a greater sense of transparency. If something were to require intervention or escalation, it's a big difference between knowing who that president of that joint venture partner is and going to a branch manager at some national chain, and you use it's a name in it, but there's no relationship that's there. So by having more control over the file or the transaction from start to finish, it's a better experience for the client. More repeat clients that come back to you for future transactions and future home purchases, and then it's also used, frankly, as a recruiting tool to retain or attract top realtor talent that to come into the brokerage. So it goes beyond just the profit and loss of the joint venture, and you know, a really engaged partner can extrapolate additional value for their brokerage with a successful mortgage joint venture.
Well, and I think it's really interesting. You know, you talked about at one point the yes, we know we can do this loan, we can do it fast. And so, you know, I think about the pain points that your partners have right now. One of them has to be low inventory. Mm-hmm. And you know, how do you help in that, or how does the partnership help in something in the kind of environment we're in right now?
Well, I think it's important to know that, you know, the joint venture is the lender. So it's not a third party. It's okay. Not getting brokered out. The joint venture is the lender. So the name on those documents is the name of the JV. So they're the lender. They have the control points for escalations, for prioritization. And one of the things that the we value is all of our joint ventures have access to fully underwritten pre-approvals, fully underwritten TBDs, depending on the market that you're in and what they're called. And that's a whole heck of a lot different and a lot more reassuring than just going in there with having, you know, an automated, you know, AUS fire that they're pre-approved or that they're approved, right? We have, so now you can come in, if you're working closely with your partner, the realtor can go in and present an offer where really the only two outstanding conditions are a contract and an appraisal. And when you're in a tight inventory market where everything is that the timelines are compressed, if you can get to that point where you just need to get into contract and have an appraisal, you're going to win more than you're going to lose. And it's a much better experience for both the agent and the borrower. And quite frankly, the lender.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, you know, further on that about the customer experience. How does this, you know, in this age, you talked about retaining those customers long term. So how does the experience that they have, they don't know it's a joint venture, right? It's just, here's their lender, whatever. How does that retain them?
Well, they do know it's a joint venture. You know, that's one, very early on in the transaction, we're disclosing, the realtor, in fact, is disclosing that, you know, this is, that we're affiliate lender. So they know there's a relationship. Often they're often in the same offices as our real. Our loan officers are often in the same offices as our realtors. That puts additional pressure on us to perform. Frankly, I mean, we're in the office down the hall, and so they understand, and that's, you know, the pressure's on us to perform, and frankly, we do. And I think our customer service surveys are very positive, and I think we do an incredible job. Measuring the recapture of that customer, our metrics are very high. So I think from that perspective, I think our customer service is very strong. And in this market, it's really important that when you're recommending someone, you have to make sure that company's going to perform for them. Because if they don't, like everyone knows, there's 22 people behind them ready to take the property. So that's our agreement. That's the model we live with every day, because we're in that office. We're around the corner.
And just to add to that, I mean, the best realtors have teams. The best realtor, when you're going to put an offer in on a home and when it's accepted, they don't let you just go and get any inspection. They direct you. This is the inspector we're going to use for the foundation or the chimney or the general home inspection or the furnace. The best realtors also have a team of mortgage professionals that they rely upon, because ultimately the realtor has their commission is dependent upon closing the transaction, and their future commissions are dependent upon repeat customers and getting in referrals, right? So I would say that those clients do know that the mortgage company is an affiliate and is a joint venture, because it's part of that realtor's team. If you do business with us, this is what we're going to do to get you into identify homes. This is what we're going to do to get you into contract. And this is the experience you're going to have once we're in contract through closing. And whether that be with inspections, whether that be with financing, whether it be with title and escrow, because a lot of our partners also have title and escrow companies. So recommendations on insurance, soccer teams, all those things are part of that. I mean, that's all part of what a realtor brings to the table. So I very much believe that the client knows that we are a part of that realtor's team. And when they choose to do business with the client, with the realtor, they've also chosen to do business with one of our JVs.
Thanks for that clarification. Let's talk a little bit about compliance, right? We know that this is, we are in a time of perhaps heightened compliance, although really I think everyone's been, the 7.5 years I've been in the industry since the financial crisis, I mean, this is an ongoing theme. So talk about the compliance that you make sure you're meeting that compliance with these JVs.
Well, certainly our operation agreements, our service agreements, all our agreements need to be compliant. We constantly monitor our channel, and we do compliance reviews both using internal resources and external resources. We look at potential shortfalls and we address them. When certain requests, which may sound very reasonable to a partner, may cause red flags for compliance issues. So we need to have those open conversations of why we can't do things a certain way. We might have to structure it a different way and explain that. But I think compliance is so important, because in any administration or any environment, you're going to be measured in not what you're doing. You're going to be measured on what you did yesterday. So it's important that we always make sure that compliance first. So we are incredibly compliant, and it's something that, when we talk to our partners, it's a selling point.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to add to that. I mean, there's not many in our industry that are in the joint venture space, and those that are, a challenge to find one that's been in the business for over 30 years, like we have. Our legacy goes back through Shelter, so you're not in this joint venture space, which has been scrutinized for years from a compliance standpoint. Through several different administrations, through several different agencies, and doing it over multiple decades, if you're not doing it correctly, right, and having the right level of attention to it. And it's the part of our business that no one wants to talk about, because it doesn't bring in revenue. It's not glitzy and glamorous. It's not sexy. None of the salespeople want to talk about it, but ultimately that's what allows us every day, to originate loans, to know that when we are audited, because we all will be, that we're doing things the right way. And that's also why we've had partners with us for as long as we have and why we continue to attract new ones, is because they want the mortgage experience not only to be a good experience, but they want it to be accretive to their real estate business. They don't want it to be a distraction. And that's why it's also, you know, it's that important to be with an established player like NewRez, who has the history of doing it through a variety of markets, and why, you know, we have the kind of following that we do.
And here's a brief word from our sponsor. At Situs AMC, we're proud to partner with the most respected brands in the industry to help them identify and capture opportunities across the lifecycle of their real estate finance activity. From origination support to new and seasoned loan underwriting to valuations and brokerage services and everything in between, we're leveraging innovative technologies and expert-led services to help build more efficient, effective, and agile businesses. So whatever your opportunity might be, Situs AMC is here to help you realize it. To learn more, visit our website at situsamc.com/housingwire.
So you have recent ones in with realty teams in DC and Atlanta. Are there particular areas of the country you're looking at first, or is it not so much geography based when you go to look for expanded partners?
I don't think it's geography based. I mean, we're looking for partnership first, and folks that are coming to us or that we identify when we are introduced that, you know, have the same ideals and the same vision for what the joint venture could turn into, right? Because there's months of work that go into these prior to launch. And then once they're launched, that's really where the real work begins. We have successful joint ventures in all parts of the country. We're licensed in all 50 states. So there's no bias towards one area versus the other. Our bias is towards working with really great people that see, you know, that have a common vision.
Mm-hmm. It's the culture fit. It's the relationship. Keep on coming back to that, but it is. And to the extent, it's about the right opportunity.
So, you know, we're doing this podcast at the Gathering of Eagles conference put on by Real Trends and Housing Wire, and our great keynote speaker talked about how he finds that perfect cultural fit. It's like, you know, if you're going to hire someone, take them shopping, like get them out of the, like, you have to get to the real who at the heart of who that person is, or in this case, at the heart of who that company is, who the leaders are. How do you do that?
Well, really, it's through introductions, and it's really through meeting face to face. It's getting on a plane and getting into their office and spending time together, or having them come to NewRez and meeting Mike and myself and our leadership, and really sitting down and spending days together, really talking about product, pricing, models, philosophies. And that's really over time. It's how we.
And I think over time is the key. These are not. So much of our business is done in 30-day increments. It's a transaction, right? You know, it's a real estate transaction. It's a purchase transaction. Joint venture creation is not a transaction. It's a relationship that's built over months and over years. You know, we're very fortunate to have Al Miller, who runs our business development team, who's been in this business for longer than he'd like me to say. But what that allows is you have some history there and some trust there, so as we can pull, you know, and you pull on that. But still, even with that history and that trust, these still take months, in some cases years, to develop. And we've had examples where we've come close to the finish line and it hasn't been the right fit. You know, and I, you know, all, whether it was on the NewRez side or the partner side, and I think we'd all agree we'd rather find that out before you launch, right, than post launch. But this isn't a transaction. This is a relationship that takes months and years to build. So that, because what you're doing this for is you're looking for a successful venture that will be in business for 10, 15, 20 plus years down the road.
It's very much like dating. It really is, and ultimately, you know, getting married. And really, when we sign that operating agreement, we get married, in essence. But it's some of the relationships go for very, you know, very, very long. Others move very quickly. But it's really about finding that trust and that relationship in one another and agreeing that, you know, to move forward.
You know, having that expertise over years of doing this, are there things you do differently now than you did when you started, or things that you would that are red flags now that you recognize faster?
I think there's experience. I think it's the latter. I think obviously when experience, you know, we've been doing this, both of us have been doing this a long time. I think there's red flags that we see quicker that, you know, is this relationship going to work? So yeah, I think we, experience is a factor there. And I guess, you know, one of the things we all learned, we get better by learning from our experiences. And I've made a few mistakes, right? And about the best I can do is to learn from those. So that's really what I think we try to do. So yeah, there are red flags that we see that would probably move on quicker than we did in the past.
But, so what are some of those red flags?
You know, I think it's an investment, right? And there's so much more to this relationship long term than just getting immediate profit. I think that's one of the red flags for me personally. I don't know, Mike.
I'd like to focus more on why we're together. I think that tells more of the story than finding why we shouldn't be together.
Sure.
If that makes sense. And what you find out during that process, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, you know, what's the real intent and the real motivation? Of course, it's profitability. Of course, it's control. But, you know, or do you have a partner that's trying to build the culture and wants to build the culture with you that's reflective of the two companies as they come together? How invested are they in finding the right leader who will run that company and will lead that company in a way that reflects both new res and the partner, the way that they want to be, you know, the way that they want to be viewed, you know, and are those values being driven down into the hiring that they do every day and into the daily routines and the practices every day, you know? So if we're connecting on that level and you're working with a partner who has, you know, been in the real estate business for a while, the red flags become, there's fewer of them, because if you're getting to that point, they're obviously successful in what they do. And if we're talking at that kind of a high level about what we want to build, usually any obstacle that you encounter after that, you can overcome with some common sense and some determination.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, as Mike pointed out, in these joint ventures, the most important thing, as we know, is the hiring of the leadership, right? And coming together and finding that leader together and making sure that that's the right person, right? You don't want to hire too quickly. You want to find the right fit, because you're going to build culture, and you want to build a culture, our joint cultures together. And finding that leader is so important, and then setting the proper expectations as we build it out. So I think those are all keys.
You know, I know you mentioned that some go faster than others, but typically, you know, if you've reached out to someone, they've reached out to you. What does it look like? What does that kind of due diligence timeline look like before you're ready to jump in?
it could be 2 to 3 months, or it could be a year.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of it depends on how intent. Look, we're always anxious to move forward, but you know, everybody's got different business models, and you know, connecting, and is this a priority today or a priority or not? Many people have other transactions that they want to close. And then we'll talk joint venture. But realistically, if both parties are on a tight timetable, we can literally have that, you know, in 3 months. And then really it's working through the agreements and moving forward on that. We're, you know, I think the end of the agreements are legal agreements. And we get lawyers on both sides that, you know, make sure that we understand why the agreements are written, structured the way they are, and make sure that they work for both parties.
You know, you've talked about the fact that there are so many fewer companies are doing this in the JV space than used to be. Do you think that's changing? Do you think that's going to change in the short term, or you feel like people are still not really dipping their toes in here?
From mortgage companies,
yes,
that are offering joint venture platforms? No, we see others that are coming in. Every company. And mortgage companies are no different than any other industry. You need to find ways to continue to grow, continue to expand, right, and to continue to drive revenue. And this is one area that was once dominated by the large depositories. And over the last 10 years, those depositories have run off, and then the independent mortgage banks have come to fill the space. So you have a lot of folks, I think, that have the intention of trying to come in because they're trying to figure out how can I grow the top line. But we talked earlier about compliance. You know, that's nobody likes talking about that. The other one no one wants to talk about is the investment of time to build out this platform. This is different than retail. This is not just retail by another name. I mean, it's different leadership, different technology. I mentioned before, every one of those, you know, if you're leveraging one LOS for the entire company, but then each JV needs their own separate, you know, you need your own carve out of that. And how many LOSs are structured that way, that have that capability, that you have to have separate sets of docs, separate underwriter, you know, all of those things. So that investment, it sounds great. Yeah, let's get into the space. But you really need to be committed. You need to have the financial wherewithal to be committed. And then you need to have the systems, you know, around you. And, you know, the commitment from the, you know, I mentioned the finances. It's not just building out the infrastructure. It's then you need to seed the capital for every one of these joint ventures. And then once you've seeded the capital, you need to have, you know, the stomach that the first couple of months may not be instant gratification, and it may need more seeding and more watering, right, and more feeding. And do you have a board of directors, whoever the bank is, whoever they report to, whatever that ownership structure is, do they see this as a short-term expense to get the JV channel launched? Or is it a long-term investment in building out a channel where the returns are going to come years down the road? And right now, everyone in our industry has been enjoying some incredible profits, some incredible margins. So these all sound like great ideas. But if you go back to 2018 and the margin compression we had then and the profitability that we had then, suddenly this may not seem as appealing or as appetizing. So I think that working with, you know, new res companies like us that have, you know, that first mover advantage, that we've made that investment over decades. So now we are just, every day we're trying to better ourselves and try to look for new opportunities versus trying to build out a whole platform from scratch at the height of the market, at the height of profitability, when everything seems easy. And we all know that that's going to turn.
And you just need that ongoing support even when you're not in business development mode, right? If you have a stable or, you know, inventory of joint ventures, we need ongoing resources that are dedicated to joint venture, or whether it be IT, as Mike mentioned, marketing, secondary, underwriting, sales. We have a full, you know, you need that ongoing, and legal compliance. We have to stay up on everything and monitor and make sure we're doing things correctly. It's a factor of the life we live in, and we think we do it. You know, I think so. When you look at it, it's more than just getting into the space. It's really living that going forward.
And if I could just add, and we're talking a lot about compliance and those things, and those are all very important, you know, but some of the really important parts and fun parts of our job is creating these new brands, working with the leadership team to create culture, right, to live culture, working with the marketing team to create marketing campaigns that are specific to that joint venture, specific to that marketplace. There's some in our industry who are in the joint venture space who think just by changing the colors on the flyer changes one, you know, from one joint venture to the next. And that's there's better ways to do that. There's better ways to do that. So, you know, the fun part of this job of being in this side of the industry is how do you nurture these brands so that they can get, you can get the most out of them, that, you know, they have their web pages look different, the experience looks different, their marketing looks different, their culture is different, their hiring practice is different. All, by the way, does come back to compliance, because the more different they are, the more independent they are, and therefore the more compliant it can be perceived to be. So all that is very important. But that's the sizzle, I guess, of why we get into this. And I think that is the challenge that a lot of our partners like, is they like their, you know, we see a lot of our partners want their marketing departments to be a part of this, right? Because that way it's the perfect blend. It's not just new res from the loan side. It is also the real estate and their ideas and their vision and how that gets incorporated into the joint ventures marketing materials.
Well, you stole my last question, which is like, what is the fun part for you? Or what, you know, what do you enjoy about this? What's great? And so, Randy, I'll ask you.
What I enjoy about it is that you could have 20 different joint ventures, and to Mike's point, we have 20 different cultures. And what I enjoy is being able to pick up one of our real estate partners, giving me a call, and just talking strategy or what we need today and solving that problem today. And knowing people all over the country and running successful joint ventures. That's the fun part, the relationship part.
You know, it's crazy to think about 20 different cultures or more, right? Because, I mean, most companies struggle with just having a good company culture that, you know, nurtures people, that keeps people, that, you know, can do go through the ups and downs of our business and not just, you know, lose people constantly, constant turnover or whatever. So, I mean, what do you think the key is to, you know, what's the common strand across all of those different kinds of company cultures that work?
I think if you looked into a lot of our joint ventures are like families, frankly. If you go into them, we're part of a very large company, but our joint ventures are smaller companies, and they're like family. And there's relationships involved, like I mentioned multiple times. That's what I would say. And when they know, you know, they work incredibly hard together, but I know they also have a lot of fun together. And that's what makes it work, in my opinion.
And to build off of that, of the family, when I was running our joint venture years ago, the goal I had, and I verbalized this, and I don't think I made this up. I probably stole it from someone, but I don't know who I would footnote it with. But our goal is to have loan officers that are overly competent in the mortgage space and in the delivery space of that experience. But what's the difference is between being successful in retail and being successful in a joint venture is that when you're in the joint venture, you're with the partners, you're with the realtors, and playing off of the family vibe here is that if you can get invited to that realtors and that offices, their baby showers and their happy hours, if you're getting invited to baby showers and happy hours, now you know you've made it. And that also serves as a great retention tool for the loan officer themselves, because now they're not coming to work every day. They're coming in to their family every day, and they're a piece of the pie, right? They're a part of the puzzle. And then that's job satisfaction soars, retention soars, experience overall soars, culture's built. And that's the fun part about what we do.
Randy, Mike, thank you so much for being on Housing News today. Really appreciate your insights on this really interesting part of, you know, what's happening in the mortgage industry.
Thank you. Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
The Origins Mortgage Platform is a fully integrated digital solution that covers the entire lending life cycle from application to closing. With Origins, you'll have access to client configurable workflows and next level automation. Use Origins to replace your POS, LOS, and CRM mortgage stack with one single platform. Or using our modular capabilities, integrate Origins anywhere in your tech stack where you need to make the biggest impact on your lending. Visit www.origins.com/housingwire for more details. That's ORIGENCE.com/housingwire for details. Thank you for listening to the Housing News Podcast. Please don't forget to give us feedback and rate us on iTunes. Until our next episode, make sure to check out Housing Wire Daily, a podcast dedicated to the hottest news stories across HW Media. The podcast is published each day and is available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcast. Thanks for listening.